Colleen Hoover fans, get ready. Her best-selling novel, Regretting You, is coming to the big screen. From director Josh Boone, who brought us The Fault in Our Stars, this powerful story follows Morgan, played by Allison Williams, and her daughter Clara, played by McKenna Grace, as they navigate love, loss, and the secrets that can tear a family apart. With an all-star cast including Dave Franco, Mason Thames, Scott Eastwood, and Willa Fitzgerald, Regretting You brings to life everything readers loved about the book. First love, second chances, heartbreak, and the complicated, beautiful bond between mothers and daughters. It's the kind of film you'll want to see with your mom, your best friend, your book club, anyone who loves to laugh, cry, and gasp together in a theater. Don't miss Regretting You, only in theaters October 24th.
Direct from the Broski Nation headquarters in Los Angeles, California, this is the Broski Report with your host, Brittany Broski.
I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. I crossed the desert bare, man. Breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been a-hanging.
Actually, I'm going to read the lyrics. Who the fuck sings that? I only know the Texas version, too.
I've been everywhere.
Oh, it's a Johnny Cash song, of course. I've been everywhere. Lyrics. Texas. I've been a Waco, Hico, Hondo, Navasota, Winsboro, Jacksboro, Hillsboro, Santa Rosa, Austin, Houston, Galveston, Texarkana, Frisco, Buffalo, Conroe, Corsicana, Goliad, Groesbeck, Glen Rose, Red Oak, Post Oak, Live Oak, Lone Oak. No joke. I've been everywhere, man. Wow. They really did something there. They really did something with that.
Hi, y'all. Welcome back. This is a Victorian cowboy episode of the Broski Report. Y'all knew it was coming. Come on now. Come on with me. Come on with me now. Hey! Can I get on? Hey, Goliad, Groesbeck, Glen Rose, Red Oak, Post Oak, Flag Oak, Float Oak. No joke. When the sun goes down on my side of town and that lonesome feeling goes through my door and the whole world turns blue.
Y'all know that.
I spend most every night beneath the light of a neon moon. So if you lose your one and only.
I love that fucking song. Okay, guys, lock in. Oh my God, my candle's not on. Okay, y'all, it's time to get really fucking serious. I'm headed back to Texas this weekend, so I'm celebrating naturally. One of the scariest states in the country, yes. And am I kind of terrified to go back? Yes. But do I miss the culture of the South and Southern hospitality and the fucking food? Yeah, I do. I'm going to ACL. Going to ACL this weekend. So, if I see you, I see you. I'll see y'all out there. And I mean that. I'll see y'all out there. Hozier's performing. Yeah. Yeah, I'm fucking duh. Oh, Hozier's going to be. Yeah, I'm there. Yeah, I'm there. I'm in the crowd and I'm naked. Anyway, going to ACL. I'm doing, what the fuck else? Let me tell you about this company. And I forget the, probably should know the name. It's this boat rental company that you can do in Austin on Lady Bird Lake. Shit. Lady Bird Lake. It's about 100 degrees in this room.
And I've had about 18 shots of espresso, if you can't tell.
Sometimes I do zoom out and I'm like, I've hit a wall when it comes to recruiting Broski Nation. You guys are here, okay? And I am very annoying. And at this point, you're used to it. It's like the devil you know. You know what I mean? You're used to my level of annoying. When I'm, bruh, 6'7", 6'7", bruh, pff, pff,
pff. I'm like, when the sun goes down.
It's stem hour. Y'all are used to that. New people aren't going to be used to that. So sometimes I feel the need to be like, hi guys, I'm Brittany Broski. Welcome back to the Broski Report. Today we're going to be talking about music. Like, that's really not, we're balls deep into it. Today I'm like, Anthony Boyle, I need to bounce on Anthony Boyle. Okay, so there's a run of show. And I'm also going to introduce and let me know what you guys think about this. Hey, if you're texting me, don't. If you're texting me, please don't. You know what I mean? And if you've ever texted me, don't. Because I'm doing this, and this is very serious work, as you can see, obviously. What the fuck was I gonna say? Oh, there's a run of show here. And if you know, you know, you're familiar with it. You know what I mean? I come in, I talk about what I've been up to. I talk about what I've been obsessed with. And then maybe I answer some. We're going to switch that up a little bit. We're going to switch that up on y'all. I'd like to introduce a new segment in the middle where I teach you something that's pre-planned. And then we take audience requests. That's right. I'm opening the floor to Broski Nation. And what y'all want me to learn about. Or if y'all want to teach me something. So we might start introducing, and this is just me spitballing, y'all let me know what you think about this, like video submissions, and we'd play a Broski Nation video, submit, hi, Brittany, I'm from Yakima, Washington, okay, real place, and here's what I want to teach you, and then, of course, I'll listen to the thing, I'll be like, okay, yes, diva, and then I'll be like, how interesting, and then I'll look it up on my own, okay, but you give me a little introductory thing. And then I'm good. That's what I'm, it's in my brain right now. Let me go ahead and clear my throat for you guys. That's what's in my head right now, because we kind of do a quasi, you know, pseudo version of that right now. And I don't know if quasi and pseudo are interchangeable in the way that I just used them. Are quasi and pseudo the same? Quasi means almost or partially, while pseudo means false or fake. See, the beauty of just looking something up. Because I probably would have gone the whole rest of my day interchanging those. And they're not.
It's quite paradoxical. It's because I have a double entendre. It's quite paradoxical.
Yeah, I like the Measley brothers. So I really, the Measley brothers make me fucking laugh. They make me laugh. And Drewski just, Drewski just did another stream with Kai and Kevin, and I laughed. And I laughed. And did I watch the 37-minute compilation, Best Moments, Funny Moments that Kai just uploaded? Yeah, I did. I had my little morning breakfast and I watched the whole damn thing. And it was fantastic. And I laughed. Also, Could Have Been Love, too. He released the casting call. I laughed. Anyway. Okay. Here's what I wanted to talk about today. I've been gone, as I do. I travel. They still let me on planes, even though I got this big farter on me. Even though, hey, carry on this big ass, this big shitter. And not ass in the sexual sense of like, damn, she's got a fatty. This ass as like a weapon. As like big farter, big shitter. She had whole milk before this. And this last flight I was on, let me know what you guys think about this, okay? Because sometimes I get on a flight and people are farting next to me and I'm like, you are the most disgusting, fucking nasty human. Get your toes and your farts out of this airplane. I mean that. And don't put your feet on shit. Don't put it up on the wall, up on the thing. When your toes are gripping, you're pissing me off. That's one side of me, okay? The other side of me is if I'm in the air and my stomach hurts, I gotta fart. Okay, because I'm in pain. And when you're it's a pressurized cabin, my guts are bubbling. Okay, I don't have a gallbladder. Cut me some slack. Sometimes I gotta fart. And they're blanks. I'm shooting blanks on the plane. Okay. I'm farting, but there's no stink in the chamber. Okay. Or maybe we're just 30,000 feet up in the air. My nose is plugged up. Okay. But sometimes, yeah, man, I get it. Okay. And I cut some people some grace if they're farting. If you are farting the entire fucking plane ride, though, I will say something. I will come over, hi, yeah, you keep firing off warning shots with your fucking butt. Just go to the restroom. Hi, yeah, just go to the restroom. We all know it's you shitting your pants over here. Just step into the lavatory and let them go. Thank you. Because at least in the lavatory, there's that poop spray. There's that shit spray. Okay, and it always smells like an old man. It smells like an old man shitting. Okay? So... anyway, I've been traveling a bunch. I went to London, and on my flight to London, I was being big farter number one. I was being big fat white farter. That's what I was being on the plane. I was being honky farter number one. And I fucking hate being that stereotype, but ultimately I am, okay? It's probably the big honky farter. Yeah, it is. So I was farting, and I felt bad about it. And then we landed. We just did some crazy shit in London, y'all. Broski Nation is making fucking moves. Like, I mean, we recorded some stuff abroad that will bring y'all to your knees because it brought me to mine. Okay? There are certain guests coming up on Royal Court. There are certain things that we're cooking that are very exciting. And I'm very, very, very excited, very genuinely to have you guys see it because it's just getting bigger and better. You know, Royal Court's my little baby and like, it really feels awesome to have people see the value in what I'm doing, because there is nothing worse than being interviewed by someone who doesn't know you, who doesn't give a shit about you, who didn't do research, you know? And like, I watch so many celebrity interviews because I'm a fan of pop culture, as we all are, where it's like, oh my God, this interviewer is so, it's honestly like secondhand embarrassment to watch, to like over-sexualize a guest, to ask very surface level things, asking Cillian Murphy about memes. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? You're pissing me off. Okay? I'm so serious. That's one of the greatest living actors. You're going to be like, are you aware of a meme of your face acting like you're repulsed? Oh! So it's shit like that. I'm overseeing that. And I think that these people are artists and they want to be talked to like artists and like humans. And so that's my joy and my pleasure and my privilege ultimately. So yeah, it's really awesome. Shit's happening with Royal Court team. And thank you for watching it. And thank you for your support. Ultimately, that's what I wanted to say. So.
Colleen Hoover fans, get ready. Her best-selling novel, Regretting You, is coming to the big screen. From director Josh Boone, who brought us The Fault in Our Stars, this powerful story follows Morgan, played by Allison Williams, and her daughter Clara, played by McKenna Grace, as they navigate love, loss, and the secrets that can tear a family apart. With an all-star cast including Dave Franco, Mason Thames, Scott Eastwood, and Willa Fitzgerald, Regretting You brings to life everything readers loved about the book. First love, second chances, heartbreak, and the complicated, beautiful bond between mothers and daughters. It's the kind of film you'll want to see with your mom, your best friend, your book club, anyone who loves to laugh, cry, and gasp together in a theater. Don't miss Regretting You, only in theaters October 24th.
We were in London doing that, and when I was in London, I had visited a tourist attraction, as one does, called the London Dungeon. Now, let me dissuade you, or actually persuade you, to go give this a try. Because what I thought was the Tower of London, that's what I wanted. I wanted to go see the old cells and the dungeons and like where the crown jewels are. And like, surely the Tower of London's haunted, all that shit. I thought that's what I was signing up for. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. What the London Dungeon actually is going to be is more what I would characterize as immersive black box theater. What the London Dungeon is and continues to be is a kind of Halloween Horror Nights vibe. Like, it is a walkthrough haunted house with character actors who don't warn you that you're going to get wet, you're going to get screamed at, they're not going to touch you, okay? You're not getting touched by these people. You're not being diddled by the actors at London Dungeon. However, you are going to be scared. You are going to have mystery liquid thrown at you, and people are going to be screaming and running around you. The lights are going to go out. It's scary, but it's funny. Also, it's informative. I rate the London Dungeon 10 out of 10. I would just say, and honestly, I had more of a blast because I didn't know what to expect. Once you kind of realize what it is, what's going on. And by the way, does this experience end with a ride, with a roller coaster ride? Yeah, it does. Okay. And is it in the bottom of some government building? Yeah, it is. And is it right next to Shrek 4D? Yeah, it is. And the Sea Life Aquarium and the London Eye? Yeah. It's actually right there on the water. I thought genuinely we were like going into the old cells of the London Dungeon. And this is how they used to torture people. Because, you know, sometimes they'll have like medieval torture museums. The macabre, nasty, like morbidly curious side of me is like, yeah, I would like to see that. If not only to be repulsed, but to be like the brutality of the British Empire. You know what I mean?
No, that's actually not what this was. This is kind of just theater.
It was Halloween Horror Nights, British edition. British cruelty edition. So I had a damn blast though. Okay. I went with a friend and we literally were like, what the fuck is this? Cause you start the experience by taking those like corny, you know, I'm in the stocks, like those sort of photos, like, nah, they got me, girl. And then you walk into the actual experience and it's like, oh, each room is themed like something different. So we stepped into one that was plague themed. The plague room, and we step in, and it's like, you know, they push you in, the crowd, there's like ominous music playing, and the lights are all dim, and you sit down on these, it's like little pews. There's like a fake, there's a fake dead body, hashtag fake body, on the table, And there's like this Sweeney Todd curtain that they've pulled that's got blood splatter on it, whatever. It's all fake. And the guy comes out and he's, you know, all hunched over like this. And he's looking at all of us and we're giggling. I'm giggling. I'm the worst person to do shit like that with because I'm laughing and it hasn't even started. Okay. You come over and make eye contact with me and you're in your character outfit. I'm laughing. So he comes over and there's this dead body on the table and he's like staring at all of us. And then he whips out his hand and starts digging around in the corpse. And we're like, ah, ah. He's digging around the corpse. He rips out an organ. And then it's all quiet. And he makes eye contact with all of us again. And then he does this where he like flings the organ and water comes out. And I go, ew. And so the whole first row, we're like, what the fuck? Ew. And he goes, sorry, bladder. Did you know that during the plague time, like, of course I'm laughing because that's hilarious. You flung the bladder piss on me out of this dead fake corpse? Okay. Immersive black box theater. So he starts talking about how they handled plague sores, how they handled the dead bodies, how they disposed of dead bodies in plague times, how they had no comprehension of like modern medicine and what actually works. They didn't know to wash their hands. They thought leeches would get, you know, bloodletting, all of this. They didn't realize that like the water was contaminated. They're shitting in the streets. They're all coughing on each other. They're not eating edible food and all these things. It was just like the living conditions were squalor. It was shit. And the plague wiped out, what is it, a fourth of fucking Europe in the 1400s? So they're informing you of all these things while also, you know, there's bits and there's jokes and there's whatever, and there's piss. Ultimately, there's fake piss being thrown at you, which is great for me. I love an experience like that. So we do that, and then there's a fucking ride at the end. Like a la Tower of Terror, Guardians of the Galaxy, Disneyland ride. It's like a drop. And it's supposed to be like the gallows. It's so fuck. I genuinely thought when we booked the London Dungeon, I was going to be like, this is where they used to hold. You know what I mean? Like one of those places where it's very solemn. It's very somber. It's a very educational experience of like, we can never let governmental figures have this much power ever again. Right? Like, this is fucking crazy. No, it was actually just going to be improv, scripted improv about the bubonic plague. So I would say if you're in London, definitely do the London Dungeon. 10 out of 10. Tickets were not that expensive. And there is a gift shop. So, and it is right next to Shrek 4D. And did I go into the Shrek 4D gift shop? Yeah, I did. So anyway, London Dungeon, 10 out of 10. I would also recommend if you're in London to hit up Mr. Fogg's. Okay, now let me explain. Mr. Fogg, hello. Mr. Fogg is a bartender, and there are multiple different locations. There's like a Mr. Fogg's Tavern, and there's a Mr. Fogg's something. We went to Mr. Fogg's Apothecary. This is kind of like a speakeasy, but it's like a craft cocktail bar, and it's all Victorian London themed. Yeah, you bet your fucking ass I was there. They bring out the drinks and these weird, you know, like science, this sort of shit, like test tubes and scientists, and whatever. There's like dry ice. It's a poof, you know, they do that big cloud bubble on the top of your cocktail and then it pops and it's like, oh my God, that guy, there's nothing cooler than that. There's nothing cooler than that. Especially when you're drunk. It's, I'm clapping like a fucking baby, like a baby that you just did a magic trick in front of. Literally me and Mr. Fogg's Apothecary. So we go, I have about 13 to 14 cocktails. I run up the motherfucking tab, my own tab. And then we leave and we're just walking around and it was such a beautiful night. There's this, I wish I had gone. It's this store. I think it's called like Pretty Ballerina or something like that, right next to Mr. Fogg's Apothecary. And it's just a ballet flat store and I want to go in so bad. But yeah, it's right over there. I don't know where. It's like Soho, I think, area. I had a damn blast. If you're in London, go to Mr. Fogg's. Pay Mr. Fogg a visit because he sure would be happy to have you. And before I went to London, I was in Nueva York. I was in New York and I saw Little Shop of Horrors. Oh my fucking God. I'd never seen it. I'd never seen the movie. I had never seen the musical before. I knew Suddenly Seymour because of Ariana Grande and Seth MacFarlane. And like I'd heard some of the songs before. Obviously we have Plant here, but the kind of point of the show I'd never seen before. And it was very, very, very much fun. I went with Trisha Martell, very much fun. And Yeah, the dude who plays, I don't know who the lead girl is, but she's fantastic. And the guy who plays Seymour was great. The guy who plays the dentist, the like homicidal dentist, I don't know what his fucking name is, but he, I mean this when I say this, okay? I took an edible, so keep that in mind. When I went to go see the show, I took an edible. His performance as this fucking doctor, I wish I knew the actor's name, is one of the funniest things I have seen in my entire life. It is one of the I laughed so hard that it genuinely got to a level, and I feel this way with Drew, Caleb, and Trixie sometimes, where I'm like, you are so funny, it's pissing me off. It's pissing me off. Because I can see, like, I don't know if any other funny people do this, okay? Or if I'm just, like, off the espresso right now. Half of my vision when I'm, like, talking to a funny person is I'm laughing like an audience member. You know, like, oh, my God, that's so funny. I'm going to laugh, of course. Then the other half is, fuck, it's genius. Do you know what I mean? Fuck, it's genius. Why didn't I think of that? It's that, but out of admiration. It's out of, like, genuine awe. And so I'm watching this dude perform, and he is so ridiculous. He is so ridiculous in this role that he kept doing things where I'm like, that is so fucking stupid. I have to laugh. I have to laugh. He would take a physical gag, like, a bit too far. Or, you know, at the end of a serious line, he'd, like, boop one of the people's noses. Like, it was just so good. I cannot put into words how, like, at the end of it, of course, the singing is so impressive. It was so loose and light, and just, you can tell the cast is all friends with each other. The doctor, I'm telling you, dude, something magic. I don't know who the fuck it is, and he looked familiar. I'm gonna look it up. Little Shop of Horrors, New York, cast 2025. Jeremy Kushner. That's my fucking king. Jeremy Kushner, he's Canadian. What has he been in? FX, the series, The Idea of Manhood. What the fuck? He is so damn funny. It was pissing me off. I was getting angry.
This episode is sponsored by SeatGeek. I'm getting the girls together and I'm looking for something fun for us to do, which is why I want to give the sponsor of today's episode, SeatGeek, a huge shout out. With over 28 million downloads, SeatGeek is the number one rated ticketing app. There's more than 70,000 events listed on SeatGeek, including concerts, sports, festivals, and more. Right now, you can get tickets to Dua Lipa, Chris Stapleton, Gaga, Tate McRae, The Lumineers, Hozier, Gracie Abrams, and more. I love using SeatGeek. I go to concerts all the time, and they always have last-minute tickets. Speaking of which, SeatGeek has your back. Each ticket is rated on a scale of 1 to 10, so you know you're getting a good deal. Look for the green dots. Green means good. Red means bad. Plus, every ticket is backed by their buyer guarantee. And you know I have a code for y'all. You can use code BROSKY2025 for 10% off your next set of tickets at SeatGeek. That's 10% off tickets with promo code BROSKY2025. Make sure you click the link in the description to download the app and have the code automatically added to your account so you can use it later. Thank you, SeatGeek! This episode is sponsored by Rocket Money. By this point, look, y'all know I love a mobile game that you have to pay to remove ads from. I pay it, and then I forget about the game, and then I find a new game, and the cycle continues. A lot of people aren't aware of how much money they spend each month. Do you know how many subscriptions you pay for? What about how much you spend on takeout or delivery? It's probably more than you think. But there is an app designed to help you manage your money better. Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses in one place, including subscriptions you forgot about. So if you see a subscription you no longer want, Rocket Money will help you cancel it. Their dashboard lays out your total financial picture, including bill due dates and paydays, in a way that's easy to digest. You can even automatically create custom budgets based on your past spending. If you've got a goal you'd like to save for, Rocket Money can analyze your accounts to find the best time each month to put extra money aside. Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lower bills for you. The app automatically scans your bills to find opportunities to save and then goes to work to get you better deals. They'll even talk to customer service so you don't have to. Rocket Money's 5 million members have saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, with members saving up to $740 a year when they use all of the app's premium features. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money. Download the Rocket Money app and enter my show name, The Broski Report with Brittany Broski, in the survey so they know I sent you. Don't wait. Download the Rocket Money app today and tell them you heard about them from my show.
Anyway, so that was so much friggin' fun. I went with, like I said, Trisha and one of my writers, Sabina, and we had a damn blast. We had a damn blast! And shout out to the people who run Little Shop because they were so, so, so kind to us. Got us drinks and whatever. It's very, very, very sweet. And then what the hell else did I do? Okay. Here's something that I've been waiting to talk to you guys about in my Burt Reynolds cosplay. I just need to set that aside for a second and really bring attention to the fact that I watched House of Guinness. Okay. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about House of Guinness. I know you bitches want to talk about House of Guinness. Let's talk about it. House of Guinness, created by Stephen Knight, creator of Peaky Blinders. Okay. House of Guinness is about the founding family, obviously the namesake of the Guinness beer, the Guinness, it's not a lager. Guinness is a, it's a damn, it's an ale. It's a stout. Ultimately, it's a stout. It's a stout that they've been brewing in this damn brewery since the 1700s. And the show tells the story of how the family came kind of to power and how once the patriarch died, the kids really turned it into the empire that it became. I mean, the Guinness family is notorious in Ireland for being like, you know, philanthropic ventures and whatever, kind of like these titans of American industry. Like Guinness really was that fucking Guinness trademarked the harp before the country, the Republic of Ireland, adopted it as its symbol, as its sort of mascot. You know what I mean? They just flipped it. It's nuts how important like the Guinness family is to the history of Ireland. So obviously I'm excited to do this. Obviously I'm excited to see it because the last two times I've been to Ireland, we did the Guinness Storehouse tour, and it was incredible. I mean, it's truly, how do you create an empire out of beer? How do you do that? So once this show was announced, obviously I was like, yeah, I'm going to be all up in and around that. I watched it. Here are my thoughts. I think it was structured very well. I'm pissed that it leaves on a cliffhanger, obviously. We kind of know what happens because it's based on history, even if it's dramatized. I think okay, so here's what I really just... Let me cut to the fucking chase. Anthony Boyle is what I'm here to talk to you guys about today. We have a new one. We have Target Lock, team. We have Target Lock. And Anthony Boyle, mustache, no mustache, tall, short, long hair, short hair, I don't give a fuck. I don't care. Until the room stinks. And am I probably going to interview them at some point? Yeah, I will. I'll probably interview the cast from season two because I'm addicted to this show. And am I going to have to live with what I just said? Yeah. Okay. But I need y'all to know it's Anthony Boyle time. Hey, it's Boyle o'clock. A bit of Boyle. Anthony Boyle. Wow. And he's from fucking Belfast. And all these interviews I'm saying, oh, it's being shoved down my throat. Rightfully so. And I'm consuming all of it. I'm consuming all the fucking House of Guinness content I can get. Because I'm the target audience. And I watched the damn show the minute it came out. And I downloaded it on my iPad. Every single video I get of him, I'm not even going to try to do a Belfast accent because I can't. But his is so much less. It's more toned down than Kneecap's. Sometimes Kneecap talks and I'm like, yeah, yes, yes, exactly. And then sometimes I'm like, okay, no, I understand. When you got to take it slow for me, okay? Because I'm not from there. I don't know what the hell y'all are saying, but I'm sure it's something good. I'm sure it's something I really, really would agree with. So, yeah. Yeah, where'd you say you was from, man? When I bring home my Irishman to my Texan family, where'd you say you was from, man? What the hell are you talking about, man? It's a lot of class. Yes, it's class. It's class. Grand. It's grand. Takes a million. Takes a million. Thoughts on that? Hey, any Irish people listening currently, go ahead and rate this for me. Yeah, takes a million. For a Dublin accent, thoughts on that? I've also recently learned that the Dublin accent has so many variations. Because Gree and Chattin's is one. I've got some friends who speak in a certain Dublin accent. Then there's posh Irish. But there's like some inner city of variations of the Dublin accent that are really difficult to understand. And then don't even get me started on like Cork. What the fuck are y'all saying down there in Cork? Again, I agree with it. I probably agree with it, okay? All love to everyone in Cork. What are you guys saying? So the more time I spend in Ireland, the more I'm going to kind of, you know, I'll become a translator. I'm going to speak Irish. I'm going to learn Irish. So that's kind of what's going on. But then you go up to Belfast. Hey, what the fuck are you guys saying? What the fuck are you guys saying? And are there subtitles available? Could I get an interpreter? Okay. But it's all love. It's all good. But he, sometimes in interviews, when he starts talking really fast, I'm like, can you, I tap on my screen, back 10 seconds. One more time for me. 0.75 speed. One more time for me. What was that, King? Anyway, I love him. And Louis Partridge, is he the guy who plays Arthur Guinness? He's got some eyebrows. He's got some cunty little eyebrows. Louis Partridge. And what else was he in? Yeah, I'm interested. You know what I mean? 22 years is crazy. He's 22 years old. And he plays Arthur Guinness. Oh, he was in Enola Holmes. 1, 2, and 3. And Paddington 2, of course. And Pride and Prejudice, of course. Did Olivia Rodrigo date Louis Partridge? Oh, okay, they had dated. The relationship began with dating rumors in October 2023. Oh, because they were photographed kissing together in New York City. Like, why am I reading? And of course, because it was actually 2023 when they started dating. Honestly, shout out to Louis Partridge because 22 years old, playing the role that he's playing, nuts. And how the fuck old is Anthony Boyle? He's got to be like my age. 31. He's 31. All right. He's got a few years on me. 5'7". Hell yeah, King. 5'7". Hell yeah, King. And he was in Dairy Girls and Masters of the Air. Isn't that Austin Butler? I almost said Austin Boyle. Is this the Austin Butler movie? Austin Butler. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is. And SAS Rogue Heroes, of course, when that comes back. Of course, I'll be watching SAS Rogue Heroes when it comes back on. Yeah, it's quite paradoxical. Okay, how's it going? I really, really enjoyed it. There are some elements in here, narrative-wise, that, of course, they made Edward, or they made, no, sorry, Louis Partridge plays Edward Guinness. Anthony Boyle plays Arthur Guinness. Yes. Arthur Guinness in Stephen Knight's retelling is a gay man. He is living life as a gay man, okay? And yes, they exist. Yes, gay people exist. And I think it's, I mean, I found it to be an interesting way to, you know, when you put it in the context of what was Ireland like at this time, societally, culturally, what was acceptable, what was taboo, even, you know, into today, it's like having that be a plot point, who knows if it was true or not, but it makes it very, very interesting. Because when you have a family of such influence and wealth and notoriety, this concept of like having blackmail or quote unquote something to blackmail them with, it obviously it makes for an interesting and entertaining story. So yeah, watching all that and the gay orgies and the girl who plays Adelaide is so fucking beautiful. And Niamh, shout out to Niamh who plays Ellen Cochran. Yes, yes. That's my queen. She's Broski Nation. And of course she is. And of course that bitch is Broski Nation. That's my queen. It's crazy. So I really enjoy. And fucking Jack Gleason, Joffrey Baratheon. That motherfucker's in this show. And he's my favorite character. He is so damn funny. And he provides this levity and lightness and like a really heavy, you know, sometimes Stephen Knight stuff can be very, oh, fuck. What are we going to do? So he provides this kind of funny breaking up of some of the seriousness. And he's sent off to America to expand. Honestly, kind of like, who's the younger cousin brother in Peaky Blinders. Come on. What's his damn name? I'm going to watch this back. It's going to piss me off. Michael. They send Michael off to America. That was Trump doing a Birmingham accent. America. They send Trump to Birmingham to kill him. They send Michael to New York or Boston, I think, with Anya Taylor-Joy's character to expand the business during Prohibition to help smuggle whiskey and beer and whatever, gin, vodka, in and out from England to the U.S. Fuck, my brain just, okay.
Anyway.
So this kind of Joffrey's Jack Gleason's, hello, pick up, it's me. Jack Gleason's character is that. And he's hilarious and he's very good in the role. Anyway, it all kind of comes to a head at the end of the season and I'm very excited for season two. So if you guys need an official red carpet correspondent for season two, House of Guinness, you know where to look. Look no further. You've found her. And no, I don't always look like this. I don't always look like non-binary Burt Reynolds, bitch. Even though, get into this. Yes. Okay. Here's also what I wanted to talk about today is some things I've been doing to improve my well-being. You know, I like to do one of these every few weeks or so. Something I've been implementing, something that's been making me feel less like shit. Number one, I'm going to be completely, totally real with you guys. I got put on gabapentin. My doctor prescribed me gabapentin. And is that what they give to dogs to make them sleep on planes and at the vet? Yes. It calms them down. Am I on the dog's Xanax? Yeah. I'm on the dog's Xanax. He put me on the doggy Xan because I think a real life Xan or anything that is calming to that effect, I don't need that just yet. And shout out to the bitches that do. Shout out to the Klonopin girls, I guess. For me, it's not that bad, but it's bad. And so he recommended gabapentin. Great. Has changed my life. I take it as needed. And when it kicks in, I'm serious. I'm like, everything's going to be fine. Because I really freak out. And I think that's been it's been something I've been battling with for a while. Like accepting that I really do have, like I have a problem with anxiety. And that's not anything to be like, wow, she's so, it's just like, I think that I was embarrassed of it for a really long time. I didn't want it to be true. And there's this like Taurus eldest sibling, like I can handle this. I'm being a puss. I'm being a wimp. I can handle this. And then sometimes, no, you can't. You know, sometimes like I really freak myself out. So gabapentin has been great. Shout out to gabapentin. That's number one. Number two is, I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago, classical music. I listen to KUSC, which is available on iHeartRadio. I listen to it even when I'm not in California because they just, you know, instead of looking up classical music playlist on Spotify, and sometimes it's not what you want. Like sometimes I don't want to hear fucking Carnival of the Animals. I don't want to hear Gymnopedia or whatever the fuck that one is called. It's like all these classical, you know, Flight of the Bumblebee, that shit. I don't want to hear that. There's a very specific curated classical music playlist that I want to listen to. And if you type in exciting classical music, relaxing classical music, it's not giving. It's hard to pinpoint the vibe that I want on Spotify. So KUSC always does it. And KUSC also sometimes, I don't love it, but they'll put it in on certain hours that you listen, like famous scores or soundtracks. Like they played something from Harry Potter the other day. They play some Star Wars stuff sometimes, but mainly it's like weird niche composers from the 19th century, and they'll fit in the history. It'd be like Handel, or like Strauss, or Bach, and they'll do Mozart Hour, they'll do whatever, and they'll go through, and I learn stuff. And it's contemporary composers as well, which I like to geek out about. Because there's a part, I don't know if y'all feel this way too, but certain protected, I wouldn't call it a trade, but protected art forms like that, that's so specific. I know that if you grew up playing classical music or jazz or ensemble band, anything like that, you're intimately familiar with these pieces and some of the most famous and how neurotic classical musicians are And it's very, this is all from what I've gathered online and from whatever, you know, communities. It is kind of elitist and it's very hoity-toity and it can be very holier than thou. But at the same time, I wish it wasn't like that, because classical music, ballet, even things like traditional dance and like traditional singing, these things need to be protected. And being hostile towards people within that community is not like, I mean, infighting in those communities of who can do it best or who's the what. It's like, that's going to happen in any art form, I think, because we're competitive by nature, maybe. But I don't know. I just, when they announce a piece is being played by a modern composer and, you know, he's 25 and he's from California or whatever, or it's a woman from Oregon, I'm like, this is awesome. This is awesome. So I kind of geek out about that shit sometimes. So KUSC, get into that. I put that on as I'm driving, as I'm cleaning my house. It makes me feel very elegant and it makes me feel relaxed. And even if it's a fast paced, upbeat, high speed piece, just turn it down a little bit, you know, and it's still kind of, so I like that. I've been into flat whites. That's my new coffee order. Okay. And it's about evolving. As a woman, as an adult, as a human being. I think when you first start drinking coffee, it's like, yeah, let me get a latte. Let me get a vanilla latte. Okay, you just want a vanilla milkshake with a little bit of coffee flavoring in it, okay? And that's fine. At a certain point, it got to be too much milk for me. So then I went to cappuccino, which has the same amount of milk. But it's no flavoring. Because I'm like, I'm an adult now. I'm just going to do cappuccino. Then I moved from cappuccino to straight up double espresso. Okay. I'm like, this shit isn't cutting it. I don't want milky. I just need like the pill form of the caffeine. I want you to separate it and I want you to just give me the caffeine. And so I would just slam espressos. At one point when I learned Pedro Pascal's coffee order was 6 shots of espresso over ice, that's what I did for about 2 months. And my heart damn near blew up. Okay. Don't do that. After the double espresso craze, I was like, I miss enjoying the experience of drinking a coffee. And usually if you go to a coffee shop or a place that can do a cappuccino, they can also do a flat white because it's just a different ratio of espresso to milk and water and all that bullshit. And so now I'm doing flat white. I do a flat white with oat milk and it's been great. Okay. And you know what Benny Drama said and what I still agree with? Because I thought this before Benny Drama said it, and I didn't say it on here, but when he said it, I was like, he's so fucking right for saying that. The coffee bean and tea leaf is so back. Oh my God, she's back. She's literally so back. I went to the coffee bean and tea leaf like 3 days in a row last week. Delicious. Like their coffee blend really is good. And I get a flat white, I get a cold brew, I get whatever, and it's good. And I got a pumpkin donut. Sue me. Sue me. I want a pumpkin donut. I want a pumpkin spice flavored treat. I want a pumpkin cinnamon clove flavored treat. Are you going to sue me? Are you guys mad? And I wish that for y'all as well. And if you don't like cinnamon flavored things, I feel real bad for you. I feel really, really bad for you because this season must be hell. Maple, cinnamon. I like a, the meme of that guy who does it. Let me get, anyway, I love all that shit. I drink that shit year round. The candles go nuts this time of year. This is my favorite season, as you can tell. It's my favorite season and it's beginning. So here's my next thing. I don't know if y'all are on the same side of TikTok that I am, where they're doing crumble cookies of the week, but it's heirloom tomatoes. It's for the savory girls. It's for the weird freak bitches out there, the savory queens. They will do an heirloom tomato flight where it's essentially 6 tomato pucks. And you know the heirloom tomatoes, they're thick. You cut them real thick and they're so delicious. They're so rich. And you dry them off a little bit and you put 6 of the patties down and then you do different toppings on each one. So one that I saw, like, for example, this girl did like gochujang aioli, green onion, sesame oil, sesame seeds. That's one. Delicious. Okay. I did that one. Fucking yum. Another one she did is like a little BLTA moment. Bacon, lettuce, avocado. And then of course the tomato is the crumble cookie.
crumble cookie, moonbeam ice cream.
Then the next one I did, this girl did cottage cheese, hot honey, and red chili pepper flakes. I can't do cottage cheese. I'll shit my pants. So I did instead lactose-free Greek yogurt. I did that with some hot honey and some red chili flake crisps. Can I talk? That shit was delicious. It was very good. It wasn't my favorite, but it was very good. You can do another one that is, it was like guacamole. And here's what I did with mine, okay? I made guacamole on the side, which is the way I do it is avocados, onion salt, lime juice, pico, and you mix it all up. You can do a little bit of hot sauce if you want. You mix it all up. Put that on the heirloom tomato. Then on top, crumble up some tortilla chips. Put that on top. A crunch, a whatever, and then the tomato is the base. Wow. Wow. And then the third one I did, it wasn't a success. So don't copy this. I saw pickle hummus at the grocery store. I don't love hummus. I'm not a hummus enjoyer, okay? And I'm sorry to the hummus people out there. It's not for me. The texture makes me really, really not okay. The texture makes me kind of freak. Pickle hummus, though, you have my attention. I bought it. I spread it on the tomato patty, put pickles on it, and then I put more salt on it, and then I put tapatio on it. Hey, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad, but again, I don't like hummus. I'm not fucking with hummus. So that one was okay. I ended up wiping off, wipe, okay. Can you hear, am I going to, a ton of, okay, I'll call you back. I ended up wiping it off and I just did salt on the tomato with balsamic glaze. Are you mad? I mean, it's a classic. You can do that. I also used to follow this girl who would, I follow some freak bitches on TikTok. I really, really do. I follow some freaky ass hoes on TikTok. Mainly ASMR channels, some food people, because I like the fucked up food combos, okay? What's that shit that's called like Minnesota sushi? My stepmom used to make that for us growing up, and it is, hear me out, one of those big pickles, and you make a bed how you would with like sushi rice and seaweed, like what all the shit goes in before you roll it up. You make a bed of ham, lunch meat ham, cover that in cream cheese, put a pickle, like a ballpark pickle in it, roll it up, and then cut it like you would sushi thing, eat it. Ham, cream cheese, and pickles. And that shit busts. That shit hits. It's very good. But when you look at it, you think, oh, that's horrible. Oh, you should go to jail. It's one of those like 1950s housewives in a K-hole. Like that sort of like, she's on Quaaludes making Jell-O with meat in it. Like that's kind of what this gives, but it's delicious. Take my word for it, it's delicious. But that's coming from a savory girl. I'm a savory girl. I like salty shit that makes my face swell up. So if you like that, I would recommend Minnesota sushi. If you don't, then don't fucking eat it. Don't eat it. Anyway, I like the freak bitches on TikTok who make that shit where like it's a pickle and you hollow it out and you put the talkie in it with the cream cheese and the, you know, shit on top and then you, okay. And they're like, what they made something recently called a spice bowl. Is that what it's called? A spice bowl. I think that's what they're calling it. What the kids are calling it these days, a spice bowl. And it's just a bunch of spicy shit in a bowl. I mean, you literally do like jalapenos, banana peppers, pickle juice, hot sauce, Cheetos, whatever you want. And you all mix it together and you eat it. And it's good. And I do that sometimes. Sometimes I have little rat pickings. I make a little rat plate. But I've been loving that lately. I've been doing, I did the heirloom tomato flight. I'd recommend it. And it was filling. And if you can do it where you incorporate protein into like some of them, you're like, you put ham on one or you do bacon on another, whatever, you can do that. But I will say the one I didn't put any protein on it. I finished this whole heirloom tomato with a bunch of shit on it, whatever. I was hungry in an hour. So that was more so for fun. It was just to say that I did crumble cookie of the week. I follow that girl who does that. I don't know her name, but I saw that and I was like, I have to make that. I'm literally drooling thinking about it. I want to eat that. So I made it. It was good. Another update. I learned how to knit. I learned how to knit, and let me tell you something, that gets you off your motherfucking phone. I wasn't on my phone at all. And it's fun. It's repetitive. You can make fun stuff. I made a scarf. And is it ugly? Yeah, but it's handmade. It's made with love. And I gave it to a friend because I love my friends and I care about my friends. So yeah, speaking of friends, what did I say last week? What did I say 2 weeks ago? Plan a friend trip. And it doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be a getaway. It doesn't have to be a staycation resort. Everybody get drunk, blackout, $1,200 worth of drinks. Go on a girl's trip somewhere local. Have a big sleepover at somebody's house. The message I'm trying to send is make the plan. And if you're waiting around for your friends to make plans and invite you, maybe step up and be the friend that makes a plan. And don't be discouraged when people are like, oh, I'm busy that week, or oh, I can't, or oh, whatever. Keep trying, because it's worth it. It's worth it. Okay, life is so fucking short. You need to start making more wholesome memories with your friends that don't involve or circle around alcohol and substance. That's all I'm going to say on that front. I would really just push you guys in that direction of creating beautiful memories with your friends. Okay. I want to talk about some songs of the week. Oh, and another big, big, big thank you to Broski Nation and Trixie Mattel Nation for the collection sold out. The Britney Trixie collection sold out with Trixie Cosmetics. I'm so just, wow. And there will be a restock. There will be a restock. So if you didn't get it this first round, fear not. It is coming back. I don't know the exact dates on that, but there will be more. So don't freak out. I'm so proud of that collection. I'm so glad y'all like it. We wanted it to be useful for everyone. You know, not too weird of colors, but some fun ones and some everyday useful colors and just very, I'm a very cool tone girl. So it's a very cool tone collection. I'm just going to put that out there. If you don't like cool tone, then it's not for you. And that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. That video of Dream. Anyway. That's okay. So yeah, thank you guys for selling that. Oh, I'm so freaking happy. Okay. Songs of the week. My Honest Face by Inhaler. You know I like Inhaler. You know I like Inhaler. I've only been a surface level listener. Now I'm kind of diving in head first. I know that's like their most popular song. There's something in it. There's crack in that fucking song. It gets stuck in my head all the time. I downloaded it recently on the plane. I had no Wi-Fi. I listened to that song about 150 times. It's fantastic. I love it. Second, Dracula by Tame Impala. Now, y'all know I'm a huge Tame Impala head. I have a Tame Impala tattoo, still on track. If you can see that, if you can zoom in on that. Still on track is one of my favorite songs by Kevin, if you will, by Tame Impala. And I just fucking love them. I've seen them live a few times, and it's something they're very calming to me, but I also love his lyrics, and I think they are so just, who's doing it like them? A lot of bands probably, but Tame Impala to me is a soundscape that never gets old. I love to just escape into that world, and it's always there for me. The Slow Rush is one of my favorite albums of all time, so this new direction he's going, I like Dracula. I really like Dracula. The other two songs, not my favorite. Dracula, definitely. I hope the album is more in that realm, but I'll listen to whatever. I will listen to it however it is because I love him. Another one that I'm a big fan of this artist, but I kind of took a hiatus for a second. 070 Shake, Trenchcoat Button to the Top. Of course I love 070 Shake, and that album with Skin and Bones and History and Despite the Things You Said to Me. What album is that? You Can't Kill Me. This album came out in 2022. I love this damn song. This damn album. Vibrations, Purple Walls, Body. Body, Body. Blue Velvet, Cocoon, Skin and Bones, Medicine, History, Invited. All of these songs are so fucking good. I didn't listen to her new album, and my friend Adam put me onto it, and it's so good. It's so good. What's it called? It's the one with Vagabond on it. Petrichor? Yeah, Petrichor. I hadn't listened to this. This came out in 2024. I really like Elephant, and I really like Vagabond. And I need to spend more time with this album because I'm such a big fan of her. I also love, this is an older song, It's called Going Back to Where I Belong by Sugar Pie DeSanto. Sugar Pie DeSanto. I love this fucking song. I love this song. And I made a little radio based off of this song because it's that good. And I'll throw that shit on. It's really, really just, hey, love it. I've been really into this kind of throwback music. I'm still listening to Get Down Services. I love them. I'm obviously still on my Fontaine shit, and I'm back on my Mumford & Sons shit, because when were you bitches gonna tell me that Hozier and Mumford & Sons are coming out with a song together? Huh? Oh, you mean the collab that we've been waiting for since I was fucking in high school? You mean the song I've been waiting for since 2012? Okay, sure. Okay, no, totally. Very excited. They keep releasing these fucking teaser, like, cock videos of BTS. I can't wait. You guys are teasing us. You're cock teasing. I'll be cock teased by Marcus Mumford and Hozier. Anyway, I'm very excited for that when it comes out. I'm a freak. I think that's all I had to share with you guys. The new shit I'm on, the shit I've been doing. Next week, we'll get into, obviously, my Google list. Some shit that I've been waiting to Google until I'm with you all. So, love you. Be safe. Be good. We have an official Broski Report soundtrack playlist on Spotify if you want to listen to that. We've got merch on broski.shop. We've got some very exciting Royal Court episodes coming up, so go subscribe to Royal Court. It's a different channel. It's different shit. I got a bunch of shit for y'all. Just go and get it while it's hot. Fresh and hot. Pizza, pizza. The Lewis Capaldi episode is so fucking funny. It's one of my favorites ever. Because that's my brother. Ultimately, that's my brother and my twin. And I miss my twin. And shout out to Scotland. Okay. I love you guys, and I'll see you
next week.